He was confirmed this summer as the Commonwealth's chief election official. You probably know him as the Philadelphia election commissioner who stood up to accusations and attacks by Donald Trump and others of election fraud in the days following the 2020 presidential election.
Schmidt also testified before the January 6th committee about the threats he and his family received during that time. So with the November 7th election coming up, we thought it was a good time to talk with the secretary about voting, registration, and ensuring safe and secure elections. Welcome, Secretary Schmidt, and congratulations on your new position.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for having me on today.
I got to start here. When is the primary going to be for the presidential cycle coming up in 2024? It was going to be April 23rd, then maybe April 2nd, maybe March 19th. Your understanding is it's going to be April 23rd again. What can you give us as an update on that front?
Right. So right now, the primary for 2024 is in conflict with Passover. So that's one motivation to move it. The other motivation is to make Pennsylvania more relevant in the presidential primary cycle. So there's a couple different reasons to support moving that primary, and the governor's been supportive of moving. The House and the Senate have not yet agreed on what that alternative date should be, whether it was 19 March or 2 April or some other date. So they're still trying to work that out. I sent them a letter again today urging that they make this decision quickly.
Work it out, guys.
Because I know the primary seems a long way off, but after running elections for 10 years, there's just so much that goes into preparation for every election. So primary 2024 is really right around the corner.
And quick follow-up to that, is there like a hard, fast date that you need them to have made this decision by in order for you to do your job?
There's really no date in the election code. And we've been asked, like, what is the drop dead date? But really, the longer it goes on, the less time there is for election administrators across the Commonwealth to find new polling places if they need them. Like, if you imagine in Philadelphia, some polling places are in rec centers, some are in church community rooms, some are in other locations, and they might have conflicts with different dates. So if the primary moves, and there are those dates are already reserved. So if the primary moves, they have to find alternative locations for those polling places. Schools are closed on election days in Philadelphia and other counties. So if that moves, those are big accommodations to make as well.
And I want to zoom out quickly because my big question for you, you're in this new role. How do you view it? And what do you see as your opportunities here as Secretary of Commonwealth?
Well, I used to only have one county to worry about. now I have 67 counties to worry about. Although I used to have a lot of, you know, authority to make sure that things were done right in the one county. And really, Department of State has an oversight responsibility for all 67 counties. It doesn't run elections directly in any county at all. So it's really about being a good partner to the counties as best we can, providing resources where we can, providing guidance where we can. The election law is always changing with court decisions and all the rest. So we need to be a good partner and be supportive of the counties.
Last month, Governor Shapiro announced Pennsylvania will have an automatic voter registration system. I'm going to summarize it briefly. You tell me if I'm being too summary here. Basically, you register as a voter when you get a new or updated driver's license, unless you opt out of that system. Do you know how many new voters have been registered so far through that method? Are there any hiccups to report? More or less, how's it going?
It's going well so far. And it was a simple change that should have a big impact. And it's something the governor has been the governor was supportive of before he came into office and has certainly advocated for and got this done while in office. It will make it easier for voters to register to vote. It's basically motor voter or building on motor voter. So again, applicants have the ability to opt out. But when you get a driver's license, think about it. You are already providing your proof of citizenship. You're providing your age and all the credentials that you'd need, far more than you'd need to register to vote by completing a regular application. So it's just much more efficient and will result in every state that's done it, more voters registering to vote. And then it's the challenge after that is getting registered to vote voters to show up to vote on Election Day.
When I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about mail-in voting, because that's been something. And you mentioned that as Secretary of the Commonwealth, you're kind of overseeing the 67 counties. And there are a lot of disparities between how counties treat mail-in ballots. What is your role there? Because some counties give you more places to drop off ballots. Some give you a chance to fix things if you do, if you leave a date off. But you, it literally depends on where you live.
That's exactly right. And you're hitting on, I think, a very important point. Every county operates under the same Pennsylvania election code, mm-hmm. but they apply that election code very differently when it comes to making voting more accessible for their voters. Like you said, some, like Philadelphia and others, provide mm-hmm. the opportunity for drop boxes where applicants can return their, or voters can return their mail-in ballot in person, especially in the days leading up to an election where it mm-hmm. might be too late to mail it back. Having a drop box provides that opportunity. Or just different ways for processing ballots, or when ballots come in and the Board of Elections can tell that it's missing a signature or missing a date, so the voter didn't sign it or date it and is not going to be counted. Many counties let voters know that their vote won't be counted so they can still vote on election day by provisional ballot or request a replacement or all the rest. So it's really a matter of making sure counties know what options are available to them, not forcing any candidates to do, or any county to do one thing or
another.
Is this
one of the times you miss being a commissioner because you could actually fix whatever problems, right? But now you can only like urge.
Yeah, that's right. Although, you know, I know a lot about running elections mm-hmm. in Philadelphia, and I did it for 10 years, but I don't know anything about running elections in Elk County. I don't know anything about running elections mm-hmm. in Juniata mm-hmm. County. So I've made a point to begin visiting all the counties, to visit all the election directors in all the counties. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like an easy, good idea to begin with, but 67 counties is a lot. So I've begun visiting and reaching out to them and being supportive of their efforts is, I think, an important role.
I think we're going to talk about election misinformation and skepticism and denialism in a second. But there's this weird dichotomy, which is that, like in 2020, 76% of registered voters cast ballots in Pennsylvania, according to the department's data. That's actually the highest mark since 1992. So on the one hand, you've got the denialism and skepticism, but you do have increasing mm-hmm. voter participation. How do you explain those two things? And can you drive that participation number even higher?
Not only did we have higher voter participation rates, but in addition, we had the most safe and secure election ever in our history, not just in our state, but many states. Because in Pennsylvania, when you vote in person, you now have in every county a voter verifiable paper ballot, meaning whether you filled out the ballot by hand or used a ballot marking device that prints out your selections for you, the voter verifies it before casting that vote. Or if you vote by mail, obviously the voter has completed it and verified those selections. Mm-hmm. And they're not used in just one, but two audits after every elections. Elections have never been more safe and mm-hmm. secure. So it's a real challenge that we have the level of sort of questioning about this system, primarily from, you know, people trying to make excuses for why they came up short on election day.
How do you restore trust? Because the numbers show, especially among Republicans, that only 22% of Republicans trust the process, versus 71% of Democrats, and only 44% of Americans have a great deal of confidence in the system. You're telling us this has been, we had one of the best elections, most secure. How do you sort of restore that trust there?
But I think it's important to understand that elections, all these changes came very quickly. Mm. And I think when you have a lot of changes with systems that, in this case, voters are familiar with, and then there are changes, it's almost no wonder people have questions. I don't blame anyone for having questions when things change. The problem is bad faith actors seeking to undermine confidence in the election results because they failed. And normally the truth is the antidote to lies. And we have only seen that be so successful when it comes to combating election denialism, if that's the right terminology.
Speaking of, we have a question from listener Gene. As someone who was the target of threats around the 2020 election, Gene wants to know, are you seeing counties having trouble getting volunteers and poll workers? What's the staffing situation right now?
So what we've seen is a significant loss, not just across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, but across the country, with experienced election administrators leaving. Sometimes they were they had the ability to retire, and then they said, you know, to heck with this, I'm going to retire, or they're left to do other things, or for whatever reason, Pennsylvania has had a significant turnover with election administrators. The real challenge is not only is it a heavy lift, but anytime you have new people running elections who don't have experience doing it, the more likely it is that they'll make a mistake in election administration. They're very complicated. And make a mistake in an environment where any mistake is perceived as being intentional.
Is pounced upon, yeah.
And seeking to change the outcome of the election one way or another. So it's a very, it's a vulnerability when you have all this turnover, and it's a vulnerability that these bad faith actors are exploiting.
Can you do anything, though, to try to ameliorate the situation? I know this 2024 is coming up real quick. I mean, in your role, can you do something to help replenish the staffing force and make sure that they're the best trained as possible?
So there's a couple things. One, to provide training materials to new election administrators. Again, counties differ a lot in terms of their constituents, but they all have the same election code. So a new election administrator might not know, okay, by now I need to make sure I ordered my ballot envelopes. By now I need to make sure that I've published the dates when the audits are taking place, or whatever else. Really important things that they complete, provide training to them, and most importantly, to support them and to really have their back when they're subjected to these sort of like outrageous accusations and grief.
And I got to ask you, I mean, 2020 was a big year. You kind of went to national. Everybody knew who you were at that time because of your stance on the election here in Philadelphia. Any lessons learned that you're going to implement in your current role?
Well, the stance was really just telling the truth,
yeah,
which is easy to do. I mean, the consequences aren't always easy, as I certainly learned, but it wasn't difficult. And it wasn't any different than what election administrators did across the United States in rural counties and big cities, red and blue alike, standing up for the integrity of elections and combating misinformation. So, you know, I, with 2024 on the horizon, I think we'd be naive to think that that sort of environment won't return. So I think it's important for us to be as prepared as we are to combat it.
Well, I wish we had more time, Secretary, but we don't. Secretary of the Commonwealth, Al Schmidt, really and appreciate you joining us today on Studio 2. You have something to add?
Yeah, I just want to make sure you give people the dates that they should be thinking about.
Yeah, so on Monday, now less than a week away, is the deadline to register to vote for the election, which will be on November 7th.
Okay.
So it's a municipal election, but every election is important.
Fantastic. There is the vital information
yes.
from Secretary of the Commonwealth, Al Schmidt. Again, appreciate you joining us on
Thank
Studio
you.
2.